Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 25, Canto 10, Chapter 1. Vishnor Maya Bhagavati. Yaya Samohita Jagat. Adishta Prabhunam Shena. Karyarte Sambhavishyati. Vishnor Maya Bhagavati. Yaya Samohita Jagat. Adishta Prabhunam Shena. Karyarte Sambhavishyati. No Maya. The potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Bhagavati, as good as Bhagavan, and therefore known as Bhagavati. Yaya, by whom? Sammohitam, captivated. Jagat, all the worlds, both material and spiritual. Adishta, being ordered. Prabhuna, by the master. Angshena, with her different potential factors. Karya arte, for executing business. Sambhavishyati, would also appear. Translation, the potency of the Lord known as Vishnu Maya, who is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will also appear with Lord Krishna. This potency, acting in different capacities, captivates all the worlds, both material and spiritual. At the request of her master, she will appear with her different potencies in order to execute the work of the Lord. And the two-page purport by Srila Prabhupada. Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate Svetashvatara Upanishad. In the Vedas it is said that the potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called by different names such as Yoga Maya and Maha Maya. Ultimately, however, the Lord's potency is one, exactly as electric potency is one, although it can act both to cool and to heat. The Lord's potency acts in both the spiritual and material worlds. In the spiritual world, the potency works as Yoga Maya, and in the material world, the same potency works as Maha Maya, exactly as electricity works in both a heater and a cooler. In the material world, this potency working as Mahamaya acts upon the conditioned souls to deprive them more and more of devotional service. It is said, Yaya Samohito Jiva Atmanam Trigunatmakam. In the material world, the conditioned soul thinks himself as a product of Triguna, the three modes of material nature. This is the bodily conception of life. Because of associating with the three gunas of the material potency, everyone identifies himself with his body. Someone is thinking, he's a Brahmana, someone a Kshatriya, and someone a Vaishya or Shudra. Actually, however, one is neither Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. One is part and parcel with the Supreme Lord, Mamevangsha. But because of being covered by the material energy, Mahamaya. One identifies himself in these different ways. When the conditioned soul becomes liberated, however, he thinks himself an eternal servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarup Haya Krishnara Nityadas. When he comes to that position, the same potency acting as Yogamaya increasingly helps him become purified and devote his energy to the service of the Lord. Paragraph number 2. In either case, whether the soul is conditioned or liberated, the Lord is supreme. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9:10, mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. It is by the order of the Supreme Personality Godhead that the material energy Mahamaya works upon the conditioned soul. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Translation. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Bhagavad Gita 3:27. Within conditioned life, no one has freedom. But because one is bewildered, being subject to the rule of Mahamaya, one foolishly thinks himself independent. Ahankara, vimudhatma, kartaham iti manyate. But when the conditioned soul becomes liberated by executing devotional service, he is given a greater and greater chance to relish a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different transcendental statuses, such as dasya rasa, sakya rasa, vatsalya rasa, and madhurya rasa. And final paragraph. Thus, the Lord's potency, Vishnu Maya, has two features, avaranika and unmukha. When the Lord appeared, his potency came with him and acted in different ways. She acted as Yogamaya with Yashoda, Devaki, and other intimate relations of the Lord, and she acted in a different way with Kamsa, Shalva, and other asuras. By the order of Lord Krishna, his potency, Yogamaya, came with him and exhibited different activities according to the time and circumstances. Karyarte sambhavishyati, from the verse. Yogamaya acted differently to execute different purposes desired by the Lord, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:13. Mahatmanastamam partha. Daivim prakritim ashrita. The Mahatmas, who fully surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, are directed by Yogamaya, whereas the Duratmas, those who are devoid of devotional service, are directed by Mahamaya. We're supposed to look at 26 also, because 26 has no purport, so. Shukadeva Goswami continued, text 26. After thus advising the demigods and pacifying Mother Earth, the very powerful Lord Brahma, who is the master of all other Prajapatis, and therefore known as Prajapati Pati, returned to his own abode, Brahmaloka. So Brahma is very special, very qualified. He knows what Krishna is going to do before Krishna does. And he's giving us a little sneak preview of what's going to happen next and what's going to happen next and what's going to happen next. So specifically this section that comes later at the appearance of Krishna, Yogamaya being summoned by Krishna to transfer Balaram to the womb of Rohini, from the womb of Devaki, and so forth. The prelude is being described here, and so the transcendental education that we're getting is the relationship between Yogamaya and Mahamaya, just like in Bhagavad Gita. Naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samavrata. I remember reading that in Bhagavad Gita and being bewildered. Wait a minute. Yogamaya, because conventionally within ISKCON, we are accustomed to hearing yogamaya meaning the internal potency, and the internal potency, yes, conceals Krishna's true identity from the residents of Vrindavan, because they're overwhelmed by this yogamaya potency, by their primary rasas. So they just don't recognize Krishna. But here, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's using the same term, yogamaya, to describe the non-devotees, the demons, those that are averse to Krishna. Yogamaya doesn't have anything to do with those people. So that was the bewilderment. But then this verse and related description in the 10th canto of how do the two connect? And they connect in the sense that Mahamaya is the expansion, the sub-potency of Yogamaya. So then that makes it really easy. To do the bidding of Krishna, the internal potency does whatever he wants. And so she has sub-potencies, and to assist him, according to his indication, her sub-potencies act. So here, the term, the first word in the verse is Vishnu Maya. Vishnu Maya. The potency of the Supreme Personality Godhead, Vishnu. Vishnu Maya and Krishna Maya, or same, or Atma Maya, or Yoga Maya. This Krishna's internal potency. And Krishna's internal potency, that we're learning some things about her from Lord Brahma. One of them is, in the third line, adishita, Prabhu Nangshena, Angshena, in the word for word is, by her different potential factors. We're accustomed to hearing the word angsha, but there's also angshena. Angsha directly means a part, and angshena means a portion of a part. Plenary portion and a part of the plenary portion. So again, we're accustomed to hearing that kind of language in relation to Krishna. But here, this is in relation to Vishnu Maya. So Vishnu Maya has subpotencies, and those subpotencies are Angshena. And she's Angsha. Just as Krishna, so she's the counterpart. Just as this word in the first line, Bhagavati, Bhagavati, as good as Bhagavan and therefore known as Bhagavati. So Vishnu Maya is as good as Bhagavan, or they're inseparable. Bhagavan and Bhagavati, or Shakti Man and Shakti, the energetic and the energy, they're inseparable. So she's as good as, and just as Krishna can expand, she can expand. She's his angsa, his plenary part, and she has her plenary parts. And she has her angshenas, her portion of a plenary part. That's Durga and other names that were told by Lord Krishna to Yogamaya after you do this service, do that service, and then do this other service. So she does so directly under Krishna's direction. There's this really beautiful passage, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, where Parvati, hearing Lord Shiva chanting Gauranga's name and dancing wildly, "My dear husband, who is this Gauranga?" And he says who Gauranga is, and, "How do I see him? You're chanting so ecstatically. I want to see him. Go to Navadvip and call his name and you can see him." So she goes and calls his name and he comes. And then she appeals. "Oh, Lord Gauranga, I have this great misfortune that I can never see you because I'm so busy in the material world keeping people away from you, so I can't come to you either. Please be kind upon me." And then he says something to the effect that, "You're my potency and you're doing very important service to assist me directly." Of course, she's doing so in one sense indirectly as well. Maya Dyakshena Prakriti. But it's under Krishna's direction that Maya acts, just as being quoted here in the purport. But it's from a distance or remotely, or as stated in the previous verse, as if automatically. So you assist me in the spiritual realm, you assist me in the material realm, you're very dear to me, you know, no worries, as they say in Australia. You're intimately connected with me, although it seems that you're remote. I can't do my activities without you. So you're intimately connected. I want to, In two other terms in the purport, in the third paragraph, these are some detailed understanding about Vishnu Maya, the Lord's internal potency. "Thus the Lord's potency, Vishnu Maya, has two features, Avaranika and Unmukha." We're used to hearing, because Prabhupada used the term regularly, Avaranatmika, together with Prakshekpatmika. He would say, the illusory energy has two potencies, covering and throwing. The material energy throws the living entity into material existence, and the material potency keeps the living entity covered. So the prakshepatmika is the throwing, or pulling down, or pushing down. And then once down, staying down, the covering potency. So back to the phrase in the purport. The Lord's potency, Vishnu Maya, has two features, Avaranika, that's the covering potency, and Unmukha, Mukha means face. Unmukha, turning towards, or eager or inclined, that the internal potency helps us turn towards or helps us in the mood of being inclined. But it has everything to do with the soul's free will, the soul's choosing to be inclined towards. So what I want to do next is, there's a very detailed and interesting and revealing commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this verse. I think it's important that devotees understand how the potencies of the Lord are working, and Vishwanath discloses very interesting. So here's his translation, or Bhanu Swami's rendering of this verse 25. The potency of the Lord known as Vishnu Maya, who is as good as the personality of Godhead, will also appear with Lord Krishna. This potency acting in different capacities. That's this karyarte word. Acting in different capacities. Captivates all the worlds, both material and spiritual. At the request of her master, she will appear with her different potencies. That's this angshena term. In order to execute the work of the Lord. So, commentary. In order to charm the eternal devotees and bewilder the enemies like Kamsa, Krishna gave orders to Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Then he defines the terms. Vishnu Maya refers to both energies of the Lord, but elsewhere in Bhagavatam it is stated that Krishna gave orders to Yogamaya. Coming chapters. Being ordered by the Lord Yogamaya and her expansion as the external energy Mahamaya, which bewilders the world, will appear. Now, listen to this. The Shruti Vidya of Narada Pancharatra, the Shruti Vidya of Narada Pancharatra states that Mahamaya is an expansion of Yogamaya. So here's a translation of what it says there. The Shruti Vidya of Narada Pancharatra. Translation. Yogamaya is the Swarup Shakti of Lord Vishnu. She is completely surrendered and unswerving in devotion to the Lord. Her nature is prema, and she rules over Gokula like a queen. One immediately attains the Lord by her mercy. Her avaranika shakti, same term as in this verse, is Mahamaya. So it's a subpotency. Mahamaya is a subpotency, and that Mahamaya has her subpotencies. So Avranika Shakti is Mahamaya, the controller of the material realm. By her influence, all jivas identify with their bodies and become bewildered. Mahamaya is also called Durga, Eka, or Ekangsha. So some of the names that in the Bhagavatam are stated, it's also stated after her slipping from the hands of Kamsa, you'll be known by different names. Speaking to Yogamaya, so the subpotency of Yogamaya is a Mahamaya for some service of the Lord. next term that's being defined is the first word in the last line, karyarte. Karyarte means executing activities. Karya, arte. There are two types of activities, those of Yogamaya and those of Maya. Yogamaya came to the prison when Krishna was born, transferred the seventh child of Devaki from Devaki's womb, and put Yashoda into deep sleep to exchange the two children. These are activities of Yogamaya, not Mahamaya. Mahamaya does not have the power to transfer her master Balaram to another womb. Paragraph. Yashoda's sleep is not the work of Mahamaya, because the scriptures say that beyond the fourth state of consciousness is the fifth state of prema. The dreaming of Krishna's eternal associates occurs in the state of prema. Their sleep and dreaming are not caused by the modes of nature. Mahamaya cannot exert any influence over the eternal associates of the Lord. Paragraph. The form of Devaki's daughter that Kamsa tried to kill was Mahamaya, not Yogamaya. Yogamaya does not involve herself with such sinful people. Mahamaya slipped from Kamsa's hands, rose up into the sky, and then settled in many places with different names, saying, quote, I will be born from the womb of Yashoda in Nanda's house in the 28th Yuga cycle at the end of Vaivasvata Manvantar, as a result of Vindhya Mountain. I will kill your evil companions. No explanation. Paragraph. The bewilderment of the husbands and mothers-in-law of the married gopis, so the husbands and mothers-in-law of the married gopis, joining the rasa dance, was an action of Yogamaya, not Mahamaya, because the husbands were not atheistic or unfavorable towards the Lord. If they were under the influence of Mahamaya, then one would certainly observe in them hostility towards the Lord. Paragraph. The Bhagavatam's first verse describing Krishna's rasa lila says, Yogamaya upashrita, quote, taking shelter of the internal spiritual energy. On the other hand, demons like Duryodhana and Shalva never gave respect to the Lord, even though they saw Krishna's Vishwarup and Garuda carrier. They thought Krishna was one of the wicked Yadavas. This is the action of Mahamaya, not Yogamaya, because their actions show hostility toward the Lord. Very interesting, huh? So, the bewilderment of the demons is the action of Mahamaya, and the bewilderment of the devotees is the action of Yogamaya. For example, when Yashoda saw the universal form, Vishwarup, in Krishna's mouth, and when Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna in Varuna Loka, they were completely unaffected by it because of their intense Vatsalya Bhav, parental affection, even though they saw such majestic aspects of the Lord. This is neither the action of Yogamaya nor Mahamaya. It is the nature of prema itself. Don't ask me to explain that. Paragraph. Prema covers one's knowledge, of the Lord's power and majesty, Aishvarya Mayi Gyana, and binds up Krishna in the hearts of his prema bhaktas more and more with the ropes of spiritual possessiveness. As affection for Krishna increases, prema completely submerges the devotees in the great ocean of relishing Krishna's sweetness. To convey this unique quality of prema, the Tantra says, quote, Krishna spread his Vaishnavi Maya in the form of parental affection. Extreme affection for a son is the unique quality of Vatsalya Prema. Then finally, summation. In this verse, Yogamaya is referred to as Maya because it shares the quality of spreading illusion with Mahamaya. Those who are speculative scholars will never understand the Bhagavatam. Not possible. And how do we understand how Vishwanath Chakravarti understands what he understands? He's an intimate associate of Krishna. And Krishna discloses intimate things about himself to his intimate devotees. And Vishwanath is empowered to share these things with persons who are unqualified like us, and these give us a glimpse of the spiritual realm. Now, Prabhupada is, the audience of Srila Prabhupada was the world that knows nothing about nothing, and stubborn obstinacy, heels dug in, averse to the personality of Godhead, rebellious, envious, coveting the Lord's position. So one has to be careful when addressing such an audience. So he has certainly given us essences in the purport, the two-page purport that we read. And just to summarize again, it's important, besides the details that Vishwanath has given us, the potency of the Lord is one. He uses this consistently, just like, or exactly like, electrical energy. It's one energy. And that one energy can act in a heating unit to heat something, and that same energy can act in a cooling unit to cool something by the direction of the electrical engineer. He knows how to do both. The heating and cooling specialists. And similarly, Krishna knows how to this and that, and Yogamaya knows what he wants, and she knows how to do this or that. And she does according to his indication, this and then that. And one of those efforts is to assist one in fulfilling the desire to turn attention again to Krishna. Unmukha. And Bahir Mukha Jeev, living entities that want to turn away from Krishna, Krishna, the Yogamaya potency in the form of Mahamaya, assists them. So even when they see Krishna, they can't see Krishna. And then there's other features that assist them in not being able to see Krishna. And that's this pervasive one of identifying the covering of the self to be the self. So that's the covering. We can't know who we are. Cannot. Self-realization, Houston Temple has right across the street a little tiny place, Self-Realization Fellowship. It used to be popular during some period of time. And it's really tiny. But their whole, I mean, in a nutshell, their teaching is self-realization without God. I mean, emphasis isn't without God, but it's without God. And what's self-realization without God? It's Maya. There's no such thing. Something keeps those people going because they keep going. They pay some money to maintain the place and drive their expensive cars to go for a weekly gathering at the Self-Realization Fellowship little place. By good fortune, we're being assisted here in this purport to understand that's the avaranika potency. It's the covering potency. It's Maya. Listening recently to a morning walk conversation, Prabhupada was in this spirited mood saying how to understand who is a demon. Just ask them, do you accept Krishna? If not, demon. And if they accept Krishna, devotee. Of course, there's degrees of demoniac nature and there's degrees of devotees, but that's the dividing line. So even the point I'm making here is, even in the case of those that are promoting spirituality in the name of minus Krishna, whether it's implicit or explicit, that's demon. And Krishna covers them, and they're thinking spiritual. They have some experience that tells them this is spiritual. That's why they keep going. And for that matter, just like we heard this, you know, the Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. Now, not everybody in the world today is thinking in those terms, but minus the terms, they're certainly thinking of themselves in terms of the qualification. I'm a ruler, leader, controller. I'm a entrepreneurial person. I like trade and commerce and making money. And I, you know, without the nomenclature, persons are invested in those identities. I'm an intellectual. I'm a priest. I'm a scholar. I'm searching for knowledge and, you know, whatever the nomenclature is, these divisions of labor are there. Divisions of, because Krishna created them. One of the famous references, often quoted references, Prabhupada's discussion with Professor Katovsky. You say classless society. I'm walking around Moscow and I see big limousine and the government people are being driven early in the morning to the Kremlin. And there's a lady sweeping the street. And I see you, the scholar, sitting in an office, Professor Katovsky. I see divisions of labor. You say classless society. I say Krishna created divisions of labor. Whether you accept the nomenclature or not, it's there. It's in nature. And those who identify, I'm a professor and I'm a government person and I'm a entrepreneurial business person and I'm a Shudra, it's Maya. I mean, one has a temporary body and temporary bodies have shapes, male, female, color. They have, you know, things connected to them. There's this very interesting example given in First Canto, Chapter 3. Interesting. Just like the sky is blue, but it appears to be blue. It's that the blueness is not the essence of sky. Or there's clouds in the sky, so we say the sky is cloudy. Or the wind is carrying smoke, so we say that the wind is smoky, or the air or sky or whatever it is smoky. But it's, you know, it's colorless, odorless, tasteless. It's none of those things. Those are upadis or designations that we identify the thing with. The same with who we are. We identify with that which Maya, the power of Maya directs us to identify with. And Maya is very powerful. How do you get on the other side of Maya's power? Try really hard and you can't. She's more powerful. Daiviyesha gunamayi mama maya doratyaya. Doesn't work. However high one may go, the Bhagavatam teaches us the power of the modes of nature, again, pulls one down. Up, 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 down. So no solution. Effort is needed, but without the Krishna connection, without the mercy of Krishna, you can't. You can't overcome. You'll remain maybe in a, you know, lofty space for some time and then down. It's just, Maya's like that. Maya's very powerful. Living entity can't get on the other side of Maya's influence except by Yogamaya. And then Yogamaya Unmukha helps attract one. Then in the Yogamaya position, living entities are also under the influence of, or you can say it stronger, controlled by. Because we're marginal potency. We can be controlled this way or controlled that way, but we're controlled because we're marginal. We're tiny. And our tininess affirms we can never become independent. That term independent was in yesterday's verse, swarat. That's Balaram and Krishna. They're swarat. Living entities are not. He's achyuta. And we're chuta. He's infallible and we're fallible. Not only potentially fallible, we're eternally under the influence of this or that. We're marginal potency. But that's a nice position because qualitative we're like Krishna, and through the Yogamaya influence, that the natural happiness of the soul is connecting with the happiness of the Supreme Soul, which is abundantly unlimited. That's what's on the other side of Maya. There's Yogamaya. And then that Yogamaya potency takes one, as we hear, more and more into the realm of the mood of devotional service to Krishna. And then this interesting distinction that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes is, and then comes the prema stage, and the prema stage is neither Yogamaya or Mahamaya. I mean, I've never heard that description precisely like that, but it's a nice understanding. Prema takes over. Now, prema is certainly part of the internal potency, but yet in another position. And he gives this detail of the parental affection. Even when Nanda Maharaj, after this little experience of he was kidnapped by Varuna, by the messengers of Varuna, when he was purportedly breaking a codicil at the wrong time, and so they kidnapped him and brought him to Varuna's place. Krishna went to Varuna's place, and Varuna worshipped Krishna right in front of Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj was astonished. So when he went back, Krishna brought him back. Nanda Maharaj got together with the other elders and said, who is this Krishna anyway? Maybe he's a... They started speculating. So Krishna took compassion and took them to the very same place where Akura got to see the spiritual world. And it says right in the Bhagavatam that Krishna showed them the spiritual world. But he didn't show himself in Balaram. But he showed them the spiritual world because it would be a giveaway. So he showed them the spiritual world. And but they're so much influenced by this Vatsalya Bhav, they just became covered again. They just forgot. Because Krishna's potencies do whatever Krishna wants his potencies to do. And he, for some reason, decided, I want to show them the spiritual world. But, you know, they're in the spiritual world. It's in Goloka or Gokula. This is the spiritual world. But he revealed, just like he, as the example, as Krishna revealed Vishwarup, not just he saw inside her mouth everything, specifically in the language of Vishwanath. He showed Vishwarup inside his mouth. Everything. But of course everything is within Krishna, right? So why not? And she couldn't comprehend it. Because her Vatsalya Bhav was so strong. That's this prema factor of Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj. And then in contrast, what Duryodhana and Shalva saw, Krishna's partial universal form and Krishna riding on Garuda, they just thought this is some mystic power. He's a living entity like us. He's got some mystic power. Big deal. I'm not afraid if somebody has mystic. I know lots of people that have mystic power. Big deal. They couldn't see. Although they could see, they couldn't see. It's according to Bhakti Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami, it's one of the more advanced stages. It's one of the stages of the consequence of offense is anartha that becomes more dense and more dense and more dense. And even when seeing, you can't see. Mahamaya, the cloud becomes darker as offense increases. And the offense has everything to do with one's regard for Krishna. And one's regard for Krishna has everything to do with one's regard for those who are dear to Krishna. This is a little section from Mahabharata, and I'll end with this. When Krishna, this is an example given by Jiva Goswami, when Krishna comes as the peace messenger, because particularly Yudhisthira, you know, we don't want to battle, and so Krishna volunteers, I'll go with a peace treaty, a peace offer. So when Krishna comes from Indraprastha to Hastinapur, there's it's an elaborate description of how Duryodhana arranged a reception. Details and details, you know, flower petals and rose water and banana leaves and arches and this and that and festival. Krishna's coming to visit Hastinapur. And even Duryodhana comes to the gate, the boundary of the city, and offers kind words. Oh, Krishna, how wonderful. Cousin Krishna, you have come. What a great honor. And may we serve you nicely when you come. I mean, Duryodhana was a good diplomat. He served even Durvasa Muni very nicely. He knew how to do things. He was a very cool guy. How to do things guy. So he was flattering Krishna and speaking nice things, saying, even including, we love you. You're our cousin. We love you. Please come to my home, my palace, for your meal. Vedic culture. And Krishna said, strong. Krishna said, one will eat only when, out of two reasons. One, there's hunger. I'm not hungry. Another is out of love. You may eat even when you're not hungry just because of love. But in you, there's no love. Because of your animosity towards the Pandavas, there's no love in you at all for me. In fact, in the whole of Hastinapur, there's no one who I would eat at the home of except one person, Vidura. I'm going to Vidura's home. Thanks, but no thanks. So that's when he went to Vidura's home and is received by Vidura's wife and the meal and all of that story. So one who is inimical or does not have good feeling for Krishna's devotee, that person is going to be influenced by Mahamaya. That's just the way it is. Extend it further, and for very exalted devotees, they have good feeling for all living entities. You read Bhagavad Gita carefully and the Bhagavatam carefully, and that's the position of exalted devotees. They don't have to like the behavior of people who are bad, but compassion and favorable feeling toward what can I do to help this individual. They're so pained, and because of their pain, they're doing such bad things, and what can be done to lift that person's condition? There's many different narrations. Because of time, I'm not going to go there, but great souls, that's how they are. They have compassion. Even for persons who are hurtful towards them, they have affection and love for the soul, not specifically the behavior, but they make that distinction between the soul and the behavior, between the air and the clouds in the sky, or the dust that's in the air, or the color blue, then, because sky is colorless. They see the essence of things, and they feel concern and compassion for the souls that are caught up in Maya. That's the influence of one who is, or a characteristic of one who is within Mahamaya. Excuse me, Yogamaya. They have compassion. Not the material kind. Spiritual kind. It's categorically different. Night and day different. So we're getting a nice education in the first chapter of Canto 10 about Balaram and Yogamaya potency. Any discussion? Yes?
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. We'll request you if you can speak a little more about this ummukha potency of Yogamaya. Specifically with mixed devotees. That, you know, material, spiritual, but devotees. And how, we see sometimes we say, oh, Prabhu, you know, you're in Maya, or I'm in Maya, you're like that. Still, you're a devotee, but is it that even affected by Maya at times, mixed devotees, you're still being assisted by?
Yes, it's a mix. That's a short answer. There's the attraction, the unmukha factor, and there's the other. Because the heart's regard for Krishna is mixed, then the potency influence is mixed. And it can vary from time to time. That is, one's regard for Krishna can be stronger or weaker. And the influence of Yogamaya can be stronger or weaker. The influence of Mahamaya can be stronger or weaker. You know, often repeated statement when Prabhupada was asked, when someone contracts an illness or disease, is that karma? And Prabhupada's answer didn't exactly say no, but it's no. If one's resistance is low, one may be infected by some disease. And if one's resistance is strong, one will not. So, Yogamaya, when one is turning one's unmukha, when turning one's face toward Krishna, then the Yogamaya potency helps one turn towards Krishna. Even in the face of something dark, or sense gratification, or some allure, a promise of mystic power, or a promise of becoming one, or whatever it is that people are chasing after. Even when that's there, if one's resistance is strong, you won't be affected. If one's resistance is weak, one can be affected. I just saw his hand first.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. Maharaj, how does Yogamaya bewilder the devotees?
You want to know, does Yogamaya bewilder the devotees?
Yeah, how does...
How?
Yeah, how?
Well, you have to ask her. She has a potency to do that. The potency is... Like the example, Mother Jasoda saw the universal form within Krishna's mouth, but her parental affection was so strong, it eclipsed her seeing of the opulent feature of Krishna, and she could only see her beloved son. She couldn't see, this is the Supreme Lord. She could only see, this is my son. So Yogamaya overwhelmed the opulent feature of Krishna as God. That's how Yogamaya works for the devotee. Is that all right? Say the same thing backwards. The devotee is under the influence of the internal potency. Otherwise, you know, devotional service is by the agency of Radharani. She's merciful. By her mercy, we get to do some devotional service. So we're under her influence. So as Subal, you know, we're mixed, but we're under her influence. Otherwise, no devotional service. Sorry. And when we're under her influence, there are experiences and feelings and events that happen by the mercy of the internal potency. We're under her influence, under her control, and we love it. And that's how it works. And so things come your way as a devotee, that's just, we say Krishna's mercy, but Krishna's mercy comes through his potencies. Say this, you know, by Krishna's potency, one can do things that otherwise one cannot do. There's this nice verse in Chaitanya, responding to your question, how does it work? Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. Even to induce someone to chant Krishna's name once, you can't do that without Krishna's potency. That's how it works. Krishna's potency enables you to Do whatever you do in devotional service, without which you can't do. And then there's degrees of Krishna Shakti. Srila Prabhupada was uniquely endowed with Krishna Shakti. Great Acharya. Thousands and thousands and still thousands upon thousands. Enormous Krishna Shakti. And his eligibility for that was his exclusive submission to pleasing Krishna under the order of his spiritual master. That's how it works. Okay. Giridhari?
I have a lot of questions. Try to formulate it. Trying to understand who is Yogamaya.
Who is?
Yeah, is she Radharani or is Radharani expansion of Radharani?
In Krishna's pastimes, Yogamaya has a name. Her name is Purnamasi. Now, Purnamasi isn't Radharani. Radharani is part of Krishna's pastimes. His Ladini Shakti and his Yogamaya Shakti is Purnamasi. Even Krishna, as well as Radha, are under the supervision of Purnamasi. She orchestrates Krishna's pastimes. Radharani is the pleasure potency of Krishna. I recommend you don't try to go beyond that. They're not the same. They're personalities. Each of Krishna's Shaktis have personifications. They're persons. Yeah.
Where is Tulsi? Tulsi Maharani?
What about her?
Was she Yogamaya? Or I heard that she's...
No, that's another potency.
Another potency.
Another potency. Shakti, not Jiva, Shakti Tattva, but another potency of Krishna. That she assists, one of the things she does is she, just like our Tulsi prayers, she assists one to come to the stage of love for Krishna. So we pray to her for her kindness to help us come to that stage of love for Krishna. She has that potency to help us come to the stage of love for Krishna. And even specifically in our prayer to love of Krishna in the mood of the gopis. But love for Krishna. Persons that are Vaikuntha Vasi worshippers, or they worship with Tulsi also. They have a different mood. For us, it's Mahaprabhu's mood. She helps one come to the stage of love. She has that potency. That's what she does. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai.
What about Subhadra?
Subhadra? Subhadra.
She's Yogamaya.
Yogamaya.
Just a different name.
Yeah. We have this whole pantheon of spiritual personalities. And, you know, one can manifest this way or that way or the other way. Now let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with this information?
I guess I'm trying to understand.
I know, and I'm asking you a question. What do you plan to do with this information? There's no problem trying
helpful.
To understand. I'm not faulting you for trying to understand.
I was thinking of, like, in my daily life, like, offering obeisances to Subhadra without knowing who exactly, or doing Tulsi Puja, serving Tulsi, but not knowing exactly who she is.
So okay, now that you know who Subhadra is and who Tulsi is, now what? The application. I don't even need an answer. You need the answer. How do you take knowledge and apply knowledge in a mood of devotion? So there's this really nice description, Vidya Vadhu Jivanam in Shikshastakam, verse 1. When the desire to serve Krishna, let's say it slowly, when the desire to serve Krishna, that awakens just from chanting Hare Krishna, with that desire to serve Krishna, what do we know from the Bhagavatam? That knowledge awakens. Right? Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojanyati Ashu Vairagam Gyanam Cha Yadahaitukam. So when that desire to serve Krishna is combined with knowledge, so this is the application point, then it gives rise to a deeper realization of the object. We have an opportunity to access more deeply the object, our relationship with the object through the mood of devotion, knowing. So, as you said, I'm just expanding on what you said. When you worship Tulsi, it's not just a song. Or we pay obeisances before Subhadra, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. It's not just a ritual. It can be a ritual. That's a beginning. That's a behavior. Behaviors are nice. And then just next step, next step, next. So application in the mood of wishing to please Krishna with knowledge that becomes accessible, not just information, but knowledge that becomes accessible through the agency of bhakti, then one can go further in one's relationship with Krishna to realize more and more about him and our relationship with him through the medium of bhakti. Yes.
Thanks for your spontaneous delivery, Maharaj. Maybe you can help me here. You said that the conditioned soul is... Krishna has two potencies, to throw and to cover.
Yeah.
And then we say, those who are born in the material nature are overcome by desire and hate. Would you explain the correlation there?
I've not read anything by our acharyas on that particular point, but what makes sense to me, so this is, you know, taking birth in the material world overcome by desire and hate seems to be equivalent to the throwing potency. And then the covering potency is what keeps us here. Of course, there's desire and hate while we're staying here, but then a different conception, like specifically the bodily conception, or I am and fill in the blank. I'm the kind of person who and fill in the blank. That's the covering potency. But that verse that you just referred to, that's seems like, sounds like the throwing potency. So in response to our desire and hate, we're placed in the material world. We take birth. And then we continue to identify.
I understood it to be to desire to enjoy separately from
yes.
the Lord
yes.
and to hate to serve the Lord.
Yes. So that invites the throwing potency where we get tossed into the material, we take birth.
So it's all correlated. You were saying about the Houston Self-Realization Center right near the same thing as down in Bloomington Normal across the street of the Sai Baba Temple. I don't know if you've ever been there, but
I asked
the fellow in charge, doctor, I'm trying to think of his name, but anyways, he said that they come over here to the ISKCON Temple for prasadam and kirtan So he says some of them are actually gradually becoming purified of their misconceptions. So I thought that was kind of
nice.
Similar to what you were saying about Houston. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Rock Tuck, you have something? He's just stretching. Okay. Okay. So I think we'll wrap it up. Thank you very much. Prabhupada Ki Jai.